Welcome back to the Roundtable. Anton Rubinstein's opera Demon opens tonight at Bard Summerscape. And a new production by frequent Summerscape director Thaddeus Strasburger, anchored by the American Symphony Orchestra under musical director and festival artistic director, co-artistic director Leon Botstein. The new staging represents an all-too-rare opportunity to see one of the 19th century's most popular operas in the West, of course, this coming from Russia. The opera features the Bard Festival Chorale under the direction of James Bagwell. And that's not all that's coming up at the Bard, not by a long shot. The 29th Annual Bard Music Festival presents a two-week in-depth exploration of Rimsky-Korsakov and his world in 12 themed concerts and complemented by pre-concert lectures, panel discussions, and expert commentary. We are joined this morning by artistic co-director of Bard Music Festival, Christopher Gibbs. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here. And James Bagwell, choral master. It's a great pleasure to have you here as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome to you both. All right. So let us begin with you, Christopher, of how all of this came together.
Well, each summer, now the 29th, as you say, we focus on the world of a specific composer, teachers, students, friends, enemies, and we wanted to look really at the Russian 19th century this year. About 15 years ago, we did Tchaikovsky, who's probably the most famous 19th century Russian composer. We've done later Russians like Shostakovich and Prokofiev. And so the world around Rimsky-Korsakov is one that includes Tchaikovsky, but also a group of composers that were dubbed the Mighty Five. And perhaps the most famous of them is Borodin and Muzes Muzorsky. And so we're using Rimsky-Korsakov as a sort of focal point to explore the Russian 19th century in music. And he was a great teacher as well, so his famous students include Igor Stravinsky and Prokofiev and others. So as every summer at Bard, we really try to give a really broad view of the world around a specific composer, of familiar pieces and unfamiliar, familiar composers and less so, in a broad range of concerts.
Certainly a broad range, but it is in depth, and it is very much an exploration into his work. So we learn a lot in this process, and I assume all of you putting it together learn a lot in this process.
Yes, no, it's fascinating each year. Rimsky-Korsakov was sort of this central figure, and yet I think for most audiences in the West, it boils down to almost two pieces, one very short and one quite long. That's The Flight of the Bumblebee and Scheherazade. In fact, he spent most of his time writing operas, 15 operas altogether, and we'll be doing two of them during the course of the two weekends of the festival, but also really being a central figure in concert life and as a professor at the St. Petersburg Conservatory, as I say, with lots of students. So a very busy man, but one whose music is not fantastically well known outside of Russia.
Why do you think that is the case?
Well, really, the repertory so much in concert halls is geared towards the German, to a certain extent French, and the niche really for Russian composers. Tchaikovsky really sort of has the 19th century, and then in 20th century, Stravinsky and Prokofiev and Shostakovich are somewhat better known. So it is, as you say, a chance this year really to explore in depth a much wider range of music than we usually get to hear.
Over almost three decades, you've certainly cultivated an audience, so this question is partially answered just by that fact alone. However, I'm interested in the trust that an audience has and the interest an audience has in going to a place with someone they've heard of, but perhaps work that they are just becoming familiar with.
Well, it is exactly that. We've built this trust over time with even more obscure composers.
Right.
Some people come absolutely every year. It doesn't matter what name is sort of the marquee figure there. I think another thing that helps is a typical concert, oftentimes for classical music, we think of as a piano recital or a string quartet concert. You sort of hear one sonority for the afternoon. We really mix things up. A concert will start with a vocal piece, and then a woodwind quintet will play, and then a pianist will come out and play. So maybe over the course of a two-hour concert, you'll hear 30 different musicians playing seven different composers. And that, I think, variety of the familiar, the unfamiliar, different types of sounds and different composers makes it a good bit more interesting than a lot of concerts that one typically encounters. And there's a lecture beforehand and a nice program book. So all of it as well is an exploration and an adventure.
We'll get into some of that in a moment. I will say that, and this is very surfacey, but the picture of Rimsky-Korsakov, I mean, he just looks like a Russian composer. I mean, that's like a central casting kind of thing. I mean, right?
He does, yes.
Fits that bill very nicely.
He was a little bit less Russian in some of the... he was a family man. His wife was a composer as well, had a good many children. His apartment I've been to in St. Petersburg is a museum now. He did... not drink nearly as much as many of his colleagues and so forth, and he was a real professional, less of a bohemian than some of his colleagues.
It is the this festival runs August 10th through the 19th as the centerpiece of the 2018 Bard Summerscape Festival. As I mentioned, there is a rare new American production of Rubinstein's Demon that opens at Bard tonight. And we are, so I'd like to talk about that and find out more about that production with James Bagwell, who, this is an opera, you are directing this.
I'm the chorus master. Yeah.
So what, tell us a little bit about this work and its lineage.
Well, the piece itself is based on a very famous poem. The libretto is based on a poem. And the way it's been reimagined, and I don't want to give away too much, but it comes out of the mind of the main female character, Tamara. And so we are witnessing on stage her, I would say, mental decline and her being placed into a convent. And so the whole thing's been reimagined as a way to tell the story. It is theatricality at its best. The production is beautiful. The singing is beautiful. The lighting design is beautiful. The cost—I mean, the whole thing is a real theatrical event. So we're extremely excited about it.
What are the challenges for you and for the chorus as a whole?
I think always, you know, once we learn the Russian, it's. Putting it on stage, you know, what singers go through is incredible, not just choral singers, but solo singers, because once they've mastered the music, then they're staging, and then they're put into maybe uncomfortable shoes and costumes that they wouldn't normally wear, and they're moving around on a set with steps and sometimes raked, and so they have to figure out not only their musical and emotional components to their work, but also just the sheer physicality of singing opera. It's athletic.
In that athleticism and what goes into a performance, how does the, I guess I'm interested in the conversation between the orchestra and the chorus and the separation of when that comes together of how that works, of how you make that a conversation and how it comes to be the work that we hear.
Well, sometimes the orchestra will make a musical commentary on what the singer is singing, or sometimes the orchestra, in the way the harmony changes or the way the texture might change, might reveal some psychological nature to the character that is not revealed in the text. And the other thing, speaking of the athleticism, is it's very demanding for singers to sing over a large orchestra.
Right.
Now, the orchestra's in the pit, so there is that. But obviously, opera is not mic'd, and it is a sport in the sense that they have to train, they have to be careful with themselves physically, They have to drink a lot of water. All the things that that go into what it is to be a vocal virtuoso.
In looking at the fact that this is such a large production, I mean, it's a real treat for an audience to be able to see something like this.
It is. Again, the sheer theatricality of this production, it's beautiful to see.
Yes.
There's an Act One battle scene that I have never seen anyone really stage in the way it was staged, the way Thaddeus Strasburger staged it. I think if audiences are looking for theatrical experiences, this is the opera to see. I think it may be one of the most successful ones we've done.
One of the challenges of Russian opera, and a reason why they're often not done in the West, is money was no object for the imperial courts of the Romanovs. And so opera productions often included extensive ballets. And it's bad enough to have an orchestra, soloists, and a chorus, then to add dancing for extended sequences is something that's really not feasible. And there is in Act Two a fantastic ballet in Demon that a Georgian group of dancers based in America, based in Brooklyn, are doing. And it is just incredible. I mean, suddenly it becomes sort of Cirque du Soleil mixed with every Russian cliche that you've seen of men on their knees dancing and so forth. And I was just blown away at the dress rehearsal on Wednesday night seeing this. But it is a challenge for a company. It can be the Metropolitan Opera or any place to really be able to bring in that component as well. But it adds to what James says of really the dramatic and sort of full elements here of something that's beautiful but exciting and has so many different moods to it.
You're talking about elements, and I'm interested of how things, because we talk about this when we do interviews regarding theater productions, about when you bring in the audience. And what does that mean for the course? What does that mean for the production as a whole when you bring in that audience, as you'll be doing tonight, obviously?
One of the things that happens is when you bring in an audience, you get applause in opera, and you're never sure where it's going to happen. You're never sure what the audience response will be. So you really learn from a dress rehearsal with audience, and it really changes everything, because these are performers, and when they get in front of groups of people, audiences, that's what they do. So everything amps up considerably when the audience appears.
And I assume, as you say, amps up, it gives everybody a little charge.
Everybody, yeah.
You know, that's exciting.
It's very exciting. The whole thing, the whole process of watching it unfold with the introduction of costumes, the introduction of the orchestra, and so forth, during the process of building an opera or building any theatrical production, for me, is as exciting as the performance.
And not to, I hate to end on this note, but I'm going to. So, Christopher, you get done, you finish this, and then, let's plan the 30th. I mean, that's a big time.
Well, we're already on 31 a bit as well. we bring people that will be doing next summer for it, which will be Eric Wolfgang Korngold, primarily known for film music. We bring them already this summer so that they can get an idea of really what we do and see our audiences. And since they're there, and they're often from different parts of the world, on Monday morning, when we all should be in a coma, we have our first extensive, usually 4 or 5 hour planning meeting for the next summer and take advantage of everybody being there. But as James says, the process is absolutely fascinating for those of us doing this each year.
Well, the 29th Annual Bard Music Festival's two-week in-depth exploration of Rimsky-Korsakov and his world takes over, and that is the dates for that are August 10th through the 19th. Meanwhile, Rubinstein's Demon opens at Bard Summerscape tonight. You can find information about all of this by going to fishercenter.bard.edu. Fishercenter.bard.edu. Just quick note that Demon runs for 5 performances from July 27th through August 5th. So if you go to the website, you can figure out when you can attend. Fishercenter.bard.edu. James Bagwell, Christopher Gibbs, thank you so much for joining us. A great pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful season. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.